I'm Charlie Harger. As you may know, our colleague, interior designer Tammy Michaels, was in New York across the street from the World Trade Center during the 9/11 terror attacks. It's no exaggeration to say she was an eyewitness to history. She was directly across the street from the World Trade Center at the Millennium Hilton Hotel. Instead of running and evacuating like most hotel guests, Tammy and her husband Guy felt they were safer staying inside their hotel room. You may have heard her on this station in 2001. From her 35th floor window, she phoned in reports to listeners here in Seattle while her husband videotaped the towers directly across the street. Tammy's testimony was an important part of the prosecution's case against the so-called 20th hijacker, Zacharias Moussaoui. Well, you're about to hear something those jurors never did. The judge in the trial ruled that Tammy and Guy's as-it-happened accounts of the scene unfolding in front of them was just too inflammatory. The audio portion of the videotape was suppressed. We will play it for you here.
We actually arrived in New York City on September 3rd. And we were experiencing wonderful weather for New York. This time of year can be a little humid, and it was just beautiful blue skies.
Why were you there?
A combination of work, and also we were there to spend a little time seeing the city together. Guy and I both work in New York City from time to time for our businesses. Me for interior design and design-oriented work, and Guy works in data communications. So we combined our trips for business and decided to add a few days. They were preparing for Fashion Week in Midtown Manhattan, and I was very involved in trying to see what I could, the home interior fashions that were going to be coming out. And Guy met, you know, for business. But then we had wonderful dinners, and we went to a play. We went and saw Rent. Just an incredible meal. One thing that strikes me is the Sunday before September 11th, we were riding home in our cab, and I looked up, and there was that spectacular view of the Twin Towers, and I had to just gooseneck to see all the way to the top. My husband said to me, kind of put his hand around on my hand, and he said, "Have you ever gone up?" And I said, "You know, I've been coming to New York for 20 years. I've never gone up." He said, "Let's do it. Let's go have a drink. Let's go up and see what it's like." And so we rode that elevator that went so fast all the way to the top, and it really got your stomach, and you step off and you're on the 106th floor of the North Tower. And it was like something out of a movie, looking back on it, you know, white tablecloths, beautiful lighting that sparkled, chandeliers that came from vaulted ceilings. And the other thing that struck me was here all these people on a Sunday night were dressed up and enjoying the evening. Many had been to plays like we had. They had salsa music playing and people were dancing. So my husband and I danced. And
was this at the Windows on the World?
Windows on the World. I actually walked over, and this is kind of interesting. I leaned over at a window and just got that sense of vertigo, standing in the window and looking straight down. And so that's kind of in my memory.
What did the workers look like there?
Oh, you know, the staff at the Windows of the World, really professional, like you find in so many New York restaurants, and as well as you've got your immigrant workers who are bussing tables, and, you know, you can tell the languages. There are people there from all over the world who are just happy to be in New York.
When you were staying in New York, where was your hotel?
Well, that's a really great question. It's directly across the street from the World Trade Center. Only Church Street, which is not a big street, separates the Millennium Hilton from the Trade Plaza, which was an entire plaza, both towers directly outside of our room. And so they had given us a corner suite directly overlooking the Trade Towers, but the closest view would have been to the South Tower directly across the street from us. We were on the 35th floor in room 3502.
How imposing did it look? How big did the World Trade Center look from your hotel room?
It was remarkable. to see how big those buildings were, because the Millennium Hilton stands approximately 55 floors, and those buildings towered 110, as everyone knows, and so double the size, and yet each building was an acre on a floor, something that is such mammoth proportion I don't think people can understand. One interesting thing, Charlie, was the day before I was coming back to my hotel, it was on Monday, and there were a group of exchange students from an Asian country out and with their teacher, and they were all looking up and trying to take pictures and trying to get, you know, a shot with them and with as much of the towers as they could. And so I got them together in a group, and I stepped back and I took a picture of them, and I couldn't get all the buildings in the picture. You know, I tried, but we kind of laughed that, you know, it was just so tall.
Did you sleep well that night?
We really did. We enjoyed our play. We'd enjoyed our dinner. We were waking up the next morning to do more business in New York.
When did you wake up?
Well, we both had late meetings, so we slept in. And so I woke up to the sound of the first plane hitting the North Tower.
Breaking story, apparently a plane crashed into the World Trade Center in New York.
What?
ABC's got an update at 55.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm surprised that kind of thing doesn't happen more than it does. Oh my gosh, is that a real picture, Gary?
Yeah.
We're looking at a picture of the World Trade Center. There is a huge billowing trail of smoke coming off one of the World Trade Center towers there. An astonishing picture that looks like something from a movie, a special effect. We'll have details for you coming up on that. In fact, it's coming up right now. So let's go to ABC News for this breaking news. A plane has apparently crashed in the World Trade Center tower. Here we go. Here they are.
An airplane has crashed into the upper levels of one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan in New York. A tremendous amount of smoke is billowing from the upper levels of that tower.
Coming up, Tammy Michaels gives us a new local perspective on the 9/11 terror attacks. This is Beyond the Headlines. I'm Charlie Harder. The days before 9/11 had been like any other in New York. Como's Tammy Michaels and her husband Guy were there on a business trip. They had even gone dancing at the restaurant at the top of the World Trade Center. As they slept in their room in the luxury hotel directly across the street from the Trade Center on the morning of September 11th, they had no way of knowing their lives were about to change forever.
What I awoke to was something that sounded like a rumbling. I'm from Southern California. Really big earthquakes rumble and roar, and that's how it sounded. And there was a glass of water sitting on the bed next to me, and everything in the room was shaking and vibrating. And I immediately thought, great, I'm in New York and they're having an earthquake. And the glass of water tumbled to the floor. My eyes flashed open, and I was sleeping closest to the window, and I could see things exploding in the air. And I recognized something that I thought was part of the wing of a jet. And I don't know why I saw that or why I identified it that way. But immediately I knew that a plane had hit the North Tower.
So you saw a wing of a jet where?
In the air, exploding and hitting our hotel. There were parts of the plane and debris flying from the building and literally smashing windows in our hotel and raining fiery debris down into the streets below where there were people.
It was at this time that Tammy remembered she had a video camera.
And I was the one who took it on the plane. He said, you know, you don't want to carry that thing. And I said, you know, you bought it, we're taking it. We, of course, never used it the entire time we were in New York. We're just those kind of people. We started taking the shrink wrap off of the videotape and trying to figure out how to load it into the camera. Luckily, we had charged the batteries and just started rolling tape, literally probably 2-3 minutes after the North Tower had been struck. We were taking video.
You know how close we were just to being killed? I mean, part of that fuselage just could have come this way.
There's still some debris coming down.
Fire's out of control.
At this point, were you able to see people inside the building?
You know, this is a really difficult part of the story for Guy and I. We had a house fire. I was at the house when the house caught on fire. So I know that fires don't grow incrementally. They grow exponentially. And I'd experienced that. So I knew this fire was going to rage out of control. Having been in the towers just the day before, I knew how many people were in the building. I also knew that it was a frequent spot for businessmen to go for breakfast at Windows of the World. I just imagined that, and I knew from how serious this fire was that it wouldn't remain contained in one area very long, that it was going to spread quickly, and that the number of people above were not going to get out. I knew it, and I was looking for them, but my brain couldn't register that that's what I was seeing.
There's a person, Guy. There's people falling out. That was a person.
Oh, no, there's a person, Tammy. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh.
There goes another person, Guy.
When a person jumps from that many floors above, and this is the painful truth, and I don't know whether people want to know this or not, but, you know, there's a saying, the fall will probably kill you. And the fact of the matter is, it didn't. They moved all the way down. And to watch this time and time again, knowing that the people looking down, and this is their only option, they are looking at the loss of life.
There's another person. Oh my God. So when they hit the ground, they're not even describable anymore as people.
No, they just almost disintegrate.
They jumped holding hands. I could see what they were wearing. I could see their ethnic background because they were more directly across from me. So I have specific recollections of people that looked African American, that looked like someone wearing khaki pants, black shirt, dark hair. I was absolutely horrified. I had never seen that kind of destruction of a human body and that kind of suffering. The people hanging on the side of the buildings, helicopters would circle and they would wave their arms through the smoke trying to get the helicopters to come close, and they couldn't. And I knew there was no hope for them. One man in particular, the gentleman that was wearing the khaki slacks and the black shirt and had dark hair, he came out onto the window, and I could see the fire beneath him, and I could see it spreading and rising towards him. And he came out into the windowsill, and he looked as if he was trying to figure this out, that he was going to remain calm, and he was going to try to either get over to the next window, or he was going to try to find a way to lower himself down, or he was going to try to get up, or get the attention of the helicopters that were circling. And I stood there just knowing that there was no way anybody was going to be able to rescue this man. I knew that. But all I could do is stand there, and I began to pray. And I didn't pray my own prayers. I tried to find God that day. I tried to find that man's version of God. I thought, if he's a Catholic, I'm a Jew. I literally, because of trying to reach God, I literally made the sign of the cross. I've never done that before or since, not because it's a representation of my faith. I was trying to find their faith. And I knew that there would be no hope for the people trapped in these floors above the fire. And that was gut-wrenching.
Watching the first World Trade Center burn out of control and watching people jump from the building is horrible enough. Then the unthinkable happens. The second tower is hit.
Oh, no.
This is Beyond the Headlines. On September 11th, 2001, our interior design radio host, Tammy Michaels, found herself an eyewitness to history along with her husband, Guy Rossbrook. It is 9:02 in the morning. We now find them across the street from the World Trade Center in their hotel room watching the first Trade Center in flames. What Tammy and Guy don't know is what you and I already do. United Flight 175 has been hijacked from Boston and is screaming toward the South Tower.
My name is Brian Lutz. I'm about 10 blocks away north of the World Trade Towers. I was looking at the Trade Towers exactly when it happened. I heard this incredibly low noise, and I knew something horrific was about to happen. I dove away from the window, not to be shattered with glass if it was a huge explosion. I will tell you from the size of the gash that the wingtip had to be at least 150 to 200 feet wide. Oh, my God!
Oh,
the next building
there's
is just
another
blew
one.
Up! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Another plane just flew in.
I feel the heat! The explosion is incredible! Oh, my God!
Another plane
God.
As we were watching.
I don't believe this! The second tower has exploded from about the 20 stories below in a gargantuan explosion. Oh, my God, I don't believe it.
This screaming swoop that through almost the corner and instant of my eye, I realized it was another plane coming in. My husband, Guy, was actually standing at the window and right in front of the panes of glass, and he was focusing his camera in a downward fashion when the plane came in. He was caught off guard. The explosion literally looked like something you would see in the movie Independence Day, almost in slow motion. The explosion came out. Steel girders came towards the building. A ball of fire, which, again, it just seems surreal, started out as almost a small explosion, grew exponentially, and engulfed our hotel. I heard windows smashing.
There goes another person, Guy.
Oh.
The tape cuts out because Guy is blown across the room from the explosion created by the second plane hitting the South Tower and exploding directly into our hotel, hurling Guy across the room, and he hit his head on the wall. What I didn't know at the time, and Guy didn't know because of all the adrenaline just trying to survive, that he'd actually fractured a small place in his neck. What most people don't know is that my very strong, hockey-playing, athletic husband, CEO of an international company, would become completely disabled for over 2 years. And I would come to work, and I would talk about, you know, what color blue to paint your bathroom. And the man that I considered my strong best friend was completely incapacitated and in horrible pain.
Once again, it's your fire safety director. The building is evacuated. If there's anyone on the floor, if there's anyone in rooms, you need to come down to the lobby to be evacuated from the building. Once again, the building has been evacuated. We have said if anybody is on the floor, employee or otherwise, come down and evacuate through the lobby. This will be the last announcement. Again, please, if there's anyone on the floors, or if there's any employees in the building, please evacuate through the lobby.
I want to leave. And my husband said, you know, they could organize the attack below. He'd been in Somalia days before Black Hawk Down. He said, Tammy, they could organize a secondary attack down below with rescue workers and people congregating below. He said, we're better off staying right where we were.
I believe what we're seeing. I could be wrong because the first, I think it's terrorists. They will target the World Trade Center. They have targeted the World Trade Center. Going to get pressed. If you're going to do a terrorist thing, you pick not only that high-profile target, but then you wait for people to congregate in areas. That's where you strike again. I don't think we're any safer now on the ground.
How did people react when you were looking down below? How did they react when the second plane hit?
Screaming and running, and I think the realization for anyone who had found a way to congregate down below, and people were evacuating buildings. In our hotel, they first tell us to stay in the hotel when the first plane hits. The second plane, it's like, we're getting the heck out of here. So you can, what you see and you hear is a mass hysterical running. People are running. And at that time, the arrival is still going on of the fire trucks and the, so that it was very difficult because they were trying to get the medical, EMTs and they were trying to get the fire trucks in there and NYPD and you've got people running. The execution of really what law enforcement and the firefighters did is hard to describe based on just the people.
It's right in front of me at this moment.
We have flames shooting out the windows, Tammy.
Flames are coming out the window.
What is about to happen is something very few people expected. Tammy and Guy are about to watch the first tower collapse. You'll hear the dramatic audio next. Welcome back to our story. It's September 11th, 2001. Tammy Michaels and Guy Rossbrook are on the 35th floor of the Millennium Hilton Hotel, directly across from the World Trade Center. Both towers are on fire, and Tammy isn't sure they're going to make it. What are you thinking at that time?
I had accepted that we could be killed. And I've never had that feeling before, where at first there's a panic. The building is going to come down. And that, you know, that building is coming at us. We called our children within probably about 10 minutes before the building came down and left messages for our children, for our then 13-year-old daughter. We'd left a message, we're fine, everything is okay. And my daughter, I awoke her in Seattle, who is 21, and I said, turn on your TV. She didn't even know. I said, I don't have much time. Told her where the will was, told her, take care of her sister, and promised to take care of my dogs, and told her I had to go and how much I really loved her. But I've never had times where I have looked my own death in the face and tried to. My son Blake has a saying, as an infantryman, even when you're in hell, you have to look for a door. And that's how I felt. I felt like I was in hell, but I was going to keep looking for that door.
As a parent, what does it feel like telling your child you think you might be dying?
I wanted them to know how much I love them. I wanted them to take care of each other. And at that point, I wanted them to know that I was okay, even though I really wasn't. You don't want your children to know how terrified you really are. You want them to feel as if you can face something with courage, and I wanted them to feel our courage.
Say prayers for the people that are in the buildings, because people are falling to their deaths, jumping from the flames in the buildings. Yes, right in front of me.
What's it like watching that first tower come down?
When that building came down, it came straight towards us, and it was like watching it in slow motion, crumbling, coming down. And I panicked and I ran for the door of the hotel. I don't know where I was running to, but I ran, and my husband grabbed me and threw me to the ground and threw himself on top of me as the building just chunks of concrete. And it felt like 1,000 Mack trucks just plowing into the hotel. I knew our building was coming down. And then the windows, it was as if going through a car wash. First it was all of this dust and soot, and then the sky disappeared. There was no sky. I've never been in a room as black as that hotel room. Just black, black, black as night. And the rumbling just kept on, only it felt like the rumbling wasn't from above, but from below, smashing into our hotel. And I just breathed deep, and I remember just saying, God, I hope it's quick, and I hope it doesn't hurt.
Second explosion took place about a part of the...
God, we are so blessed.
Apparently collapsed.
Thank you, God.
We don't know if that was from the impact of the first plane that hit it.
As the first tower is coming down, are you still in your hotel room?
Yes. We remained there till both towers collapsed. I continued. I don't know why I became Tammy Michaels' war correspondent that day. I know I'm just the home improvement person, but I did. And I kept calling in reports from that point from my cell phone. And I was actually on the phone with Como 4 News, and they were trying to put me on the air when I said, I've got to go. The second tower is coming down, which meant really the North Tower. And I felt I ducked and covered. I believe it or not, I felt not as panicked by the second tower that came down, which was Tower 1, as I did by the first experience. I don't know. Something in your brain kicks in, and you find out you're a little tougher than you thought you were.
This dust is just starting to settle after the second World Trade Center collapsed. We saw it collapsed and come towards us.
What do you see? I know there's a lot of smoke. We've all seen the pictures of smoke and dust. What do you see?
There was no sky. The dust and debris starts to settle, and you can look down, and right out of our hotel room, you can see that one of the towers, I believe it was Tower 7, was literally sheared in half. A building that had been there moments before, literally like somebody cut it with a knife, had been cut in half, and that by some miracle, the tower had come down towards us, and then the part that broke free went directly next to us. And that below us was this wire meshed cage of what had been 110 floors down directly below us of the South Tower. All of a sudden, we look up and the room was full of smoke. We were coughing, we were choking. Billowing through the floor vents is black smoke, something that I had not seen. Black smoke says fire now. And Guy, who had encouraged us to stay in our room, felt, oh no, we've got to get out of here now. We've got to get out of here now. Now we felt like we were trapped in the fire, just like we'd seen the people across the street. He grabbed wet towels. We threw those over our heads, and we exited with no possessions. We left and went down the staircase, when we opened the hotel room door, it was just flooded with smoke. As we went down the staircase, I said to Guy, we're going to die in this staircase of smoke inhalation. And he said, no, we're not.
Tammy and Guy's story continues in a moment. Beyond the headlines, I'm Charlie Harger. We continue our conversation with Como's Tammy Michaels. Tammy was directly across the street, just 100 feet or so away, when the World Trade Center towers collapsed.
We continued down the staircase. I was so afraid, turning every corner, more and more black smoke, that we were going to be trapped and we were going to be cut off. This was the only staircase in this hotel to exit. And it was hard to breathe. We were choking. As we choked and then we exited out of the hotel, we realized there was no one in the hotel. It had been completely evacuated. All windows were blown out. It was a foot deep in soot and debris and smoke, and the glass was blown out, and all the beautiful furniture in the hotel was scattered into the street and blown apart. And as we exited, we could see parts of bodies, and they looked like animals that had been killed, not describable as humans, left in the snow, just piles of what had been a human with covered almost in this snow-like debris and the blood coming through. The sky is a black blue. The debris is still raining in the air. There's explosions everywhere. A car explodes. I feel burning on my face. I feel like I can't breathe. I was so afraid that the entire area would just blow up from this overwhelming, powerful smell of kerosene jet fuel. There was a sound, there was this chirping sound that I've been haunted with ever since. It was this high-pitched chirping sound, and it sounded like little alarms, but they were like fireflies, audio fireflies. They were everywhere. They were ahead of me. They were to the side of me. I later found out those were the personal indicators for the firemen, that when they don't move for 2 minutes, that they those indicators chirp. There's a story about one fireman that I'd like to tell in the South Tower before it came down.
Okay.
There's one firefighter that when I wake up in the middle of the night having nightmares about this, he comes to me, and I have mourned for him personally, and I have wondered who he was. A fire truck arrived just below the South Tower after it was struck, very soon after it was struck. Within about 20 minutes... after the South Tower was struck. On our videotape, you can clearly see the building start to lean. There is a point that which faces our hotel where almost as if you are looking at a welding torch, the building literally emulsifies, melts. The metal is bright yellow, orange, and melting down the side of the building at this one corner. It was more than apparent that at that point, the building was giving way and beginning to lean. It was more than obvious to anyone that was in the immediate vicinity. The firefighters who arrived at that time, the building started to list and lurch, and you could almost hear it, the steel cracking and the supports collapsing in and on themselves. I knew that building was coming down, and this fireman had a set of hoses that were over his shoulder, and you could so clearly see the firemen because of their khaki jackets and the neon yellow tape on their backs and their arms and their helmets. And he went out of his truck towards the building, and then the building just started making these listing, lurching sounds, and it was obviously leaning. And he looked up, and he shored up those hoses on his arm. And then he continued towards the South Tower. And then I heard another almost implosion in the building. And again, he continued. He looked up again. As he got to the doors of the South Tower, he continued to look up. And then he entered the building. And it was within minutes after that that the building came down. And I have wondered who that fireman was. But for me, he represents the dedication of all of them that were there that day.
We'll continue in a moment. This is a special presentation of Beyond the Headlines. This is Beyond the Headlines. I'm Charlie Harger, and today we are talking with Como's Tammy Michaels. On September 11th, she was directly across the street from the World Trade Center attack and was an eyewitness to history.
Well, I work in television, and I actually have to have professional makeup that covers what most people sometimes say, you look like you've been in the sun. And in reality, I still have a chemical burn that has redness. I conceal it with cosmetics. Guy, if you looked at him, you would never know. I know because I'm married to him. You know, I can tell in the way he sits and the way he moves, and he's in pain absolutely every day.
Let's talk about the emotional, the mental side of things. I've known you for a couple of years now, Tammy, and I don't think you're very shy about acknowledging that there has been some post-traumatic stress over this.
Definitely. And I will be eternally grateful to a Vietnam vet who told me that if I didn't deal with it, the post-traumatic stress, it would deal with me. And I got a shrink that treated vets, and I was able to take it apart. And, you know, one time, Charlie, I went through a lot of anger when people didn't get it, you know, as I put it. And I said to him, you know, people just don't get it. And he looked at me, and Dr. Michael Phillips looked at me, and he said, is it that they don't get it or that you do? And I went completely silent. And he said, now you can live with that, can't you? I had to walk past Zachariah Massari to enter the witness box. He was quite an imposing man. He was very large. He stared quite coldly at me and at the jury. When the tape began to play and I began to describe what I saw, the jurors began to weep. Judge Brinkema did not allow the audio of the tape. She thought that it would prejudice the jury, but allowed the videotape. And so while the visual was playing, I described in detail to the jury specifically what had happened, not just with the planes hitting, but the individuals that you could see so clearly on the tape. Zacharias Massari was asked what he thought of the testimony of people like me who cried on the witness stand. And he said, pathetic. But I can tell you one thing. When I left that witness stand, I stopped right in front of him and I looked him right in the eye. And I thought, I'm going back to my wonderful life and you are going to a place with no windows and no doors. I really believe that we have lost the best part of what 9/11 gave us. It unified this country. Patriotism. Flags were like flowers in the springtime. They have wilted. And that is what I hope this anniversary does. And they remember what they felt that day and how they reached out to one another. And I think that's been lost.
I will remember you. Will you remember me? Don't let your life pass you by. Weep not for the memory.
This is simply the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I am at the Millennium Hotel on the 35th floor, directly across the street from both Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. Out my window, the view I have is of the World Trade Center. There are people trapped up there. This is just the most incredible thing in the world, and it's right in front of me at this moment.
We have flames shooting out the windows, Tammy.
Flames are coming out the window.
It is dangerous.
Yes,
please stay inside the hotel, within the hotel.
Okay, thank you. Say prayers for the people that are in the buildings, because people are falling to their deaths, jumping from the flames in the buildings. Yes, right in front of me.
My God,
look at the building is on fire, God. Oh, God, there's people in there. Oh, my God.
This dust is just starting to settle after the second World Trade Center collapsed. We saw it collapse and come towards us.
Second explosion was, it took place about a part of the...
God, we are so blessed.
Apparently collapsed.
Thank you, God.
We don't know if that was from the impact
we're
of
still
the
alive,
first
guy.
Plane that hit it.
If there was one thing people could know about you, what is it?
I am better, not bitter. And I choose every day to be a grateful, happy, loving person. I choose to try to make a contribution for good with my life. And that's a choice.
I will.